Hello, guys. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
Good. I'm great.
How's it going?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
We're
Hey,
talking to
Emily.
Jeff Lorber and Everett
Over here,
Harp
Brent.
and Paul Jackson Jr. I mean, what in the world? What a trifecta. I'm so excited.
Oh, we're just all right. I'm excited.
This is a trifecta, you don't understand. I hope everyone is having good weather wherever you are.
Nice here.
Yes,
It's
really
nice. Actually a very nice day in that we're all in. Well, we're in LA and Everett's in Phoenix, and we're great out here. Everett, how is it there?
cold.
It's beautiful.
Cool. It's cold.
Where are
So,
you?
I'm in Charlotte. I'm in North Carolina.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
So it's a little cold here, but it's not snowing, so I'll take
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's not New York
No, no.
or Boston.
No, it's not. So I
Or
will shut up and
even
stop
Europe.
complaining. Yeah, I'm not gonna complain.
Okay. All
So
right.
let's talk about jazz funk soul. Jeff and Everett, jazz funk soul was formed in 2014. We know with the late Chuck Loeb, whom we all miss very much. Jeff and Everett, how was that group initially formed?
Well, we started out, actually, this is a touring concept. We just thought that we could put a group, kind of a super group together with a guitarist, saxophonist, and myself, and work with Bud, my manager, who is now the manager of the group, too. And we, you know, and I forget exactly how it all came together, but I've worked with Bud on and off for years, and Everett. Everett, you probably remember better.
Well, Bud gave me a call because I had been Jeff and I had been doing some co-bill dates, and what resulted from that was my doing a handful of dates here and there with Jeff on his gig, and then Bud called me up and asked if I would be interested in doing more co-bill dates with Jeff, and I said yeah, and what would be even better if we added someone like Chuck. If we could get someone like Chuck to join us, then that would be even more fun. And so he said he'd make the call, and he made the call to Chuck, and Chuck said, yeah, sure.
And there it was.
And that's basically how it started, yeah.
Wow. Well,
and I think that was before Chuck joined Foreplay, too, because if we had known that Chuck was in Foreplay, you know, I don't know if we would have called him, because you know, he would have been pretty busy, but he managed to kind of juggle it all. So when he was in Foreplay and in our group, he managed to pretty much do everybody's gigs.
I'll only make this correction. He was already in Foreplay.
Oh, he was?
It was, yeah, but it was, so it was a roll of the dice whether he would be interested. I think he had just been asked to join Foreplay. He may have just been in there a short period of time, but, Chuck did so many things.
Yeah,
you know, he just—I mean, he was had so many irons in the fire, and it was just like him not to turn it down. It was really, really wild. I think he was already in Foreplay, Jeff. I could be wrong.
Well, in any case, Foreplay, you know, because Nathan, you know, tours with Eric Clapton and all that. It's not like those guys are always working, because all four of those guys have busy schedules.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
well,
I think Chuck just thought it's something else to, you know, something else to fill in the time.
Well, all I can say is it was an amazing concept. I mean, I think now everyone knows that. And individually, you three, including Chuck and Paul Jackson Jr., you guys have had amazing careers. I mean, individually spanning several years. So together, you're kind of a force to be reckoned with. I mean,
I hope so.
Well, thank you.
It's
incredible.
Oh, of course. No, thank you. It's you guys are the geniuses. Paul, now that you've joined the group, it's got to be pretty exciting. I actually saw you three here. I think it was last year. Was it last year you guys were in Charlotte? I believe it was.
Yeah, well,
I think
yeah,
so.
I think, yeah.
Okay, well, I saw you guys, and I want you guys to know I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hadn't seen you guys at all, so I never got to see Chuck on the gig, but of course I love all the music. But seeing you guys last year, I thought, now you know what? This is what I'm talking about. Period. This is some music right here, people. Sit back and listen. this is music. This is real stuff here. So, it was a good show.
I was actually working with Marcus Miller a couple of days ago, and he asked me what was I doing, and I told him I was playing with Jeff and Everett, and I just was telling him that one of the things I really appreciate about both Jeff and Everett is they push me to be better. And playing with these guys is an awesome honor, and it's an awesome blessing. And musically, I can't think of too many situations where it can go in just about any direction.
Right.
And that's what I appreciate about working with these guys. I mean, I don't know if you know that one of Jeff's things that he did was, for a while, Jeff was doing all of the remixes that were coming out of MCN Records.
Yep.
You know, so his R&B background is really, really extensive.
Yes, it is.
And obviously, mm-hmm. hip-hop background. And then the same thing with Forever. I mean, all the years with, you know, with George Duke and Anita Baker and all those things, plus all the great solo records, you know. So musically, these guys can go just about anywhere. And for me, it's a blessing and an honor and a challenge as well.
So, Jeff and Everett, how do you guys, well, I know it's got to be an amazing feeling, but working with your peers that are just musically just as genius and that challenge you in well, how is that? How has that experience been in this group thus far?
Go ahead, Jeff.
But yes, I mean, it's been great because it's, you know, honestly, I've never been in a group before that I wasn't the leader of, so it was just a little bit of a learning experience, but it was really a positive experience because I knew that whenever I asked Everett to play on something or his opinion of something, I knew it would be at a very high level. The same thing goes with Chuck. Same thing goes with Paul. Paul and I go way back.
Mm-hmm.
We first started collaborating a lot back in the early '80s when I first moved to LA. So we go way back, and I don't think there's hardly a project that I've worked on that I haven't asked Paul to contribute to. And so it's a pleasure because you get to share the responsibility. You know, when you make a record, all the, you know, you have to shoulder all the weight of the responsibility. And this way we split it three ways. We all collaborate. And on these records, we tended to co-write quite a bit too, mm-hmm. which is fun. And I think the fact that we have distinct musical personalities makes it so there's some variety because each of us contributes different,
absolutely,
you know, different approaches to what we do.
Everett?
Yeah, and my feeling on it from the very start when Bud Harner asked me about doing this, I had always looked for something. And I've worked with Paul since the 80s when I first moved to L.A. and met George Duke and was doing my first record, and George brought Paul in, and that's where I met him, and I knew immediately that this was a formidable talent and a creative mind that I just had to be associated with from, you know, from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
And just about on every record I'd ever done, solo record or anything else, Paul's been on it in one fashion or another. And of course, Jeff, I've known about since I was in college, and he got started early. That's all. You know, the Jeff Wilbur Fusion records were taking off, and you know, he built a well deserved name for himself.
Yes,
and a great talent as well. For me, it was an opportunity to surround myself. I'd always wanted to be around talent that could push me to be better, as in what Paul said. And when we started the first iteration of the group with Chuck, I just knew that this was something that could help me that I was looking for that could help me grow as a player, as an overall musician, and to some degree as a person, being able to work within a group and not have everything deferred to me as being the dominant faction in the group. And,
mm-hmm.
and like Jeff said, that's where a little bit of the work came in, being able to defer as opposed to make all the feel like you're right all the time, knowing that there's a highly competent decision that could be made other than yours, that was equally as skilled, equally as creative, if not more. So, I mean, that was the one great thing about it for me, was being surrounded by incredible musicians that enabled me to open my ears up, feed off of them, which is what we were all into jazz for in the very beginning. And there are so few. I mean, there are only so many guys on that level that you can put yourself with that will push you. I mean, there are a lot of gifted musicians out there, but there are only so few, or so many, upper echelon musicians that can really take you to another level, and that's what I was looking forward to. That's what I got.
I second that notion, but you nailed it, because you said it very eloquently. There are only, even when I think about it, if we're, I mean, in all honesty, you're right. There are many, many talented musicians, but when it comes to what I would consider, I think we're referring to the upper echelon of that masterful kind of that, you know, that masterful genius kind of going on. Yeah, that's not as many. So to, like I said, to witness you guys together, whether on stage live, whether when I hear it in my car on the radio, or in just listen to it anyway, it's like, oh my God, what is really going on? So I think it's beautiful. Well, and go ahead.
The great thing about it was, I think Jeff and I both really could say this. When getting into a group with Chuck, Chuck brought so much, even more of the jazz lineage of that East Coast vibe to the group, that it really kind of seeped into our own DNA and kind of made us open. The things that we had probably played early in our careers when we were really just digesting and building our vocabulary of jazz, Chuck kind of brought those things back out in us, and we started, you know, taking chances and experimenting and having fun with it, which is what this whole thing was about for us. But, you know, along the line, you know, there are times we get caught up in the business of making music, you know, specific music that fits our audience, that identifies with us, and you carve your niche and you go for that specific place. Whereas when you get into an opportunity where you can share ideas and creativity with each other, it opens things up, and then you can become things that you were not focused on before. And that was a great thing that culminated from this venture. Now, when we, you know, we lost Chuck, and it was Jeff and I talked about it, and my feeling was like, wow, there's nobody else like Chuck in this genre that we can replace with. And that turned out to be a great thing, mainly because there's no replacing Chuck. And if you try to replace somebody with somebody it sounds like him, then that comparison is always going to be there.
Exactly.
One of the biggest things that came out of this, and one of the hesitancies that came out of this, was that we were not going to have someone like Chuck. But to be able to get someone like Paul, who was filling in for Chuck at the time, when he was sick, when he couldn't make dates, when we decided to continue and decided to continue with Paul on a more permanent basis, the realization was that Paul was as much, I mean, was so different from Chuck, but every bit as strong, if not stronger, in what he does as Chuck was in what he did. And he just brought so much more wealth in that area than Chuck had in his area. Now, Chuck was extremely wealthy in the area that he did, So, it's not like, while we missed the influence of Chuck, we certainly were able to garner an immense amount of wealth and knowledge and talent in another area of playing. And that actually is what we got on this record. It was what is shown so prevalently.
Oh, I agree, because I when I listened to it, I said, wow, world, okay, here we go. So speaking of the record, in a few days, on the 25th, you guys will release Life and Times. Is this a nod of love? Is this like a love nod to Chuck, kind of sort of like, okay, Chuck, we miss you, but watch this train, and I know you would enjoy it, and here's to you, like kind of cheers, and was that anywhere in there anywhere? Overall tone, maybe?
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, that's what it was.
All over it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
it was definitely a tribute to Chuck, and in my notes to Chuck, I said without him and without his spirit, we wouldn't have been able to continue this. It was something that we started together, and we continued it in the same vein.
Wow. Well, the songs on the album are what I label as true. And my meaning, just meaning, just the, again, that genius that only you three are like bringing it like it's supposed to be, like only you guys can, like you said, that echelon of musicianship that is just so raw and true. Yet it's so much more. Your fans have come to know and expect, kind of what individually what you guys can do, as well as what you've done in the past few years. However, this right here takes it to a whole nother level of what fans can expect. And I know they are going to be so thrilled. The single Windfall that is out is already doing so well. I hear it often when I'm in my car, and it's just a display of each of you individually as well as collectively, just what I say in my way of showing out. I said, these guys are just showing out. Like, they are giving us the business, and that's a good thing. I'm so excited, guys. How has the response to Windfall been for you guys? What are you hearing? What's the feedback?
Well, it's just the first week, so it's hard to tell. We haven't started doing gigs yet this
right.
year. But I'm looking at Spotify right now. It's got 143,000 plays. So
yay!
Way better than, just in the, what, I guess it's been a week and a half, 2 weeks. So that's pretty good.
That's phenomenal.
That's pretty good, yeah. Yeah.
That's, like, great.
Jeff is our all things digital music, so he knows a lot more about this stuff than I'm so old school. I haven't kept up. When the machine broke, radio disappeared, terrestrial radio disappeared. I just kind of said, okay, if the only way I know that the single or the record's doing good is if we have dates to play and we're out playing for people. So
right.
the rest of it, how much it's getting Spotify play, digital play, I kind of defer to Jeff, and he lets us know how well we're doing and what the gauge is.
Well, I can tell you, I've been in the studio. Jeff, I don't know if you remember when Fanatic and I came in the studio and I interviewed you in your studio. You remember that? That was about...
That's quite a few years ago, I'm afraid.
It was, but so Fanatic brought me in. Yeah, it was. Fanatic brought me in, and I can, so I'm picturing that his Jeff studio, Everett, when you said that. And yes, he had so much information, like his computer screen. He was just going over stuff, and I was like, he taught me so much in about an hour. That, I mean, he informed me of what I did. He was pulling up stuff like so fast, like pulling up stuff that he worked on from 30 years ago. And I was like, what? That was you? Are you kidding me? I mean, he blew me away. So yes, and one thing he said that I never forget to this day, I said, Jeff said, every week I go on this computer and I look at what's new, you know, whatever genre, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna look at what's new just to stay, so just so I'm informed and current. I have never forgotten that. I thought if more people did that.
And he still does. Jeff,
yep.
What is it? New Music Tuesday.
Yep, it's on a Tuesday.
Spotify's New Music Friday. So, yeah.
See, there you go. How about you, Paul? Are you in there with the computers?
Well, I'm on it pretty much every day, and then I'm also an adjunct professor at USC, so I got to stay ahead of the kids. So. I'm always looking at pedals, always looking at songs, always looking at YouTube, see who's playing what.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to stay current, you know, and you got to stay ready. And the words are sugar free. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Hello.
So.
And see, the fact that Paul knows that makes him leaps and bounds ahead of me. Sugar free. I don't even know who that is. But,
No, I'm sugar free under the
offices
of the Reverend Dr. DJ Quick. You don't know?
Yeah. I'm not familiar. But Jeff Paul will know more about that and stay current, more current with those things. I am so old school, still listen to, you know, the Dexter Gordon, the Charlie Parker, Coltrane,
mm-hmm.
Sonny Stitt.
I
still listen to that too, but, you know.
No, I know, but that pretty much envelops. Occasionally, I there are some young players that I will catch, and mostly they're players that, you know, more in the straight ahead jazz type thing. And I listen to them. I listen to Branford. I listen to Grover. You know, David Sanborn, and the people that pretty much brought me along to where I am.
Right.
And sometimes I envy them because their minds are so open to receiving so much new information. I'm still trying to digest the old information.
That's well, it's okay, because as long as they're around you, they can their information can seep into your DNA.
It is, because Jeff has influenced me more so than I probably admit to him, and more so than he knows. Would sound like Windfall when Jeff introduced that song to me in demo form. I immediately told him, I said, this is different. This is so different than anything that's out there. That it has a cross-section that has a little bit of country in it. Different ways that it could go. Country, a little mm-hmm. bit of rock, a little bit of country rock, rather, and it has a jazz element. And I just thought it was such a great song. I said, this is so different. This is a hit. This is a first single. And we just kind of went from there.
Well, it's a great introduction.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about Windfall was that I didn't write it.
you know what? If anybody's going to get to something first, it's Jeff. Because Jeff is such a prolific writer. I mean, he's in the studio all the time.
All the time.
If I'm not making a record, I'm going to find my time for the golf course. And I've found a balance in my life now that I enjoy.
Right. Well, Jeff, I'm sure is always in the studio. Like, Jeff, I can't imagine. Like, he amazed me from just sitting there. I was like, what is really, wow, the information in this man's head. What in the world? How? It's just.
He's listening all the time?
Yes, and it was an honor. Yeah. He's pretty amazing. Jeff is just some kind of some other stuff.
Well, thank you so much.
You are.
That's why we love it.
Yes, but Jeff, it's a good thing.
Okay.
It's a good thing. So Windfall, like we said, is a great introduction for the project, I think, because it is. But what I also found, guys, is that all the songs, every song, it made me, each one of them made me feel a certain some kind of way, but at the same time, they took me several places within the song. It didn't stay in one place. It didn't stay, it kind of, they exhibited many different, what is the word? I don't know the word. Many, many different genres, many different sides of everything. I was like, wait, and then it took me somewhere I didn't see it going. I thought, whoa, wait a minute, where's it going? And it was exciting, and I loved it, like a roller coaster. But the opening song, Exotic, I I felt like, okay, because I listened to it, you know, back and forth, forward and back, and I thought, what a great first song, because it says, okay, first of all, we're going to remind you out the gate who we are, what this is. Okay, let me just go ahead and put it out there. So get ready for the rest of the album, because this is just the start of what you can expect. That's how I looked at Exotic. Do you agree?
Somebody's
yeah.
Making me have to use the bathroom with all that
pouring
water.
I made some coffee over here.
Okay, well we can hear it all.
So Exotic. So we agree that was a great start to getting them ready for the rest of the album. I think so.
Yeah, I thought Exotic could have easily been another single as. We have, I think we were very fortunate with the writing on this record. All of the songs are accessible, but also have a lot of information on them.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
And you know, I just thought that Jeff came up with some wonderful ideas. Paul had some incredible songs. I especially enjoyed Paul's song, Fifth Ward.
Yes.
They kind of hit home with me. I told them immediately it reminded me of Crusaders. Jeff approached me with an idea of a song called Room with VU.
Oh, that's one of my favorites. Yes.
And I thought together that was one of the best songs that we've ever done together. And
it's smooth. It's just smooth.
Paul has stated that he really loved that song as well.
Well, I think we have a lot in common, guys. Like, I'm thinking, I need to be a part of the band some kind of way, because like I'm feeling everything. I agree. Like Room with View. I thought when it, you know, from the start of the album, starting with Exotic, and then when it got to Room with View, I thought, okay, so now they're going to just kind of, okay, mellow it on out, kind of smooth it on out, kind of let's sexy this on out a little bit. And then you turn around and get funky, is what I call it, when you did Where You're At. I thought, okay, let's give us some, let's funk it up a little bit. I loved it. That's what I got from it, how you started with, you know, you come from Exotic, and then you just hit him out the gate with just a 1-2, here it is, don't you forget it, this is what it is. And then you mellow us out, you know, with the title track, even Life and Times. I thought, oh, this just smooths the mood right on out, you know, mellows it on out. And then you go to where you're at. And I'm like, okay, so they said, okay, enough of this. Okay. Let's get funky. Again, showing that variety of genres, all those different sounds within this collective, group of songs is just incredible. Like, it gives the fans, all fans, everything they could want. You know what I mean?
Well, I think Everett put it really, really well in that there's a lot of information, and because something is funky doesn't mean that it has to be devoid of creativity.
Exactly.
Or devoid of information, you know, solid information. And, you know, getting back to the musical prowess of both Jeff and Everett, I think that's one of the things I really, again, appreciate about them is, you know, Everett, as I've told him before, plays every solo like it's the last solo you're going to hear him play.
Yes.
And I appreciate about that, because he doesn't leave anything on the table. And the same thing with Jeff. It's like, you know, Jeff has such an extensive bebop background that in the middle of playing something, you'll just pull something out of the hat and you go, man, where did he pull that from?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so, you know, even with the funk factor, there's still, like Everett said, a lot of really great information in the song.
Well, what I gotta say, guys, is that I so appreciate, and thanks for Everett for putting it like that, like the information factor, because there's nothing more pleasing yet at the same time sad when you're at a live show and you sit there. And you can't even, it's so much information that it is like the thrill of your life, because it is so much information, but it's so good. And you're like, oh my God, it's so much information. Yet you can't get enough of the information. You know, you can't get enough because it's so good. And then when it's over, you're left like you're hungover, like you have a hangover from all the information, yet you don't want it to stop because it's just that good. That's what this does to me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you much.
So that's that multitude of information. No, thank you guys, because it's coming from you guys. The project ends with Catawampus. Now, someone needs to please tell me what that is. I call the song very sassy.
All right. Well,
it's funny because I just had a woman that was training my dog for the last 2 weeks use that word four times in it. And when Paul brought this song to us, it was the first time I'd ever heard that word. And I thought it was something he made up, which I didn't think he made it up, but I just thought it was an obscure word. And I heard this 23, 24-year-old girl use it, and I'm going, what? How does she know this word? I didn't even let on that I was ignorant to the meaning. And to this day, I still don't know. So I'm waiting for the definition too, Paul. Go ahead.
Paul, what's the definition?
Well, the definition is a very old word. I actually got it from my dad. And it's funny, I was in the studio once working with Nathan East, and I said Catawampus, and he's like, wow, my dad used to use that word too. And basically, it means that things are kind of messed up, kind of all over the place, situation, kind of a little off center, kind of crazy. So, it's just an old school word, you know. And like I said, it's kind of a nod to my dad, you know, because he used to use the word. So, what happened, this came sort of that track, is I originally had cut the track with my band. Mm. And Jeff and I are going through material. And I said, hey, what do you think of this? He said, hey, let's work on that. So we kind of stripped it down and made a lot of changes, changed melodies, changed chords, but kept the groove. And it turned into what you hear on the record.
Wow, interesting. Because I thought this song is kind of is sassy. That's the word I use. I said this song is a little sassy. So I guess it kind of goes along with kind of all over the place. Maybe kind of sort of, huh? Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, well, it kind of shifts gears. It's like if you can think of it like a transmission. It starts,
yes,
in one place. We added a bridge.
Yep.
Got breakdown. You know.
That's what I mean.
You know,
it just
so,
it's
kind of moves around a little bit. So I just thought it was a good title.
I totally agree. That's why, you know, I totally agree. That's, I like the sentiment. I like a song that cannot, you don't know. You just kind of, you can think you expect, but you really don't know. And then here it comes, some other corner. And Jeff is good for that. Jeff is good for being somewhere and then all of a sudden he'll take you on a twist that you didn't expect. Which again, that's called that. That's why we love Jeff Lorber, and that's why you guys are like the stellar musicians and that upper echelon that you are. Now, I know you guys haven't been out on the road yet. Of course, it's just the first of the year, so I know that, you know, we're all getting started with the season coming up. What can fans expect to see, you know, from you guys this year on the road, maybe?
Eric.
Oh, okay.
Jeff's having some technical issues. He texted me his Wi-Fi went out, so he's trying to get back on.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he just missed all that wonderful stuff he just said about it.
I know. It's sad.
Well, I mean, we're excited about getting out this year and playing the new music. This will be the new venture with Paul. This pretty much solidifies Paul as far as being the identifying member, an identified member in the band.
Yes.
And getting out and playing the new music that pretty much encapsulates who we are now at this present time, as opposed to who we've been. And Paul's been up to this point, I won't say filling. He wasn't filling in because he was a permanent member of the band. But he's been playing the music that Chuck helped us come up with. So this basically solidifies Paul in the group as far as a contributing factor, writing wise, recording wise, and it basically makes it a bit more permanent.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to playing these tunes that pretty much identify the group as it is right now. And I appreciate your saying it. We feel very strongly that this is one of our better efforts. We felt like we did some really, really wonderful records, the previous two records. And I was a bit concerned. I don't know what Jeff was, but I was a bit concerned, you know, how do we move on from here? How is it going to sound? Is it going to be too different? Is it going to lean too more commercially?
Mm-hmm.
Because we lost that straight ahead vibe that Chuck brought to the group. But I think some of that influence is still there, because I think we all kind of have that influence. It's just not as overwhelming as it was with Chuck. But we're able to take it and move it into a different direction. I think the overall thing is that different is better in this case. And we're not trying to recreate what we had in the past.
Right.
We're moving forward.
Right.
And I think this is a really cool approach. And I'm really excited with the songs that Jeff brought to me to co-write with. This is more co-writing than I think we did on a previous record, where I just... We each brought three songs and then one song together. And there was a little bit of co-writing before, but not as extensive as this record. And the songs that Jeff and I did together, I'm really proud of. Jeff is such a strong talent and a dominant force. It was really cool to work with him in a way where he, you know, made me feel comfortable that he was able to defer to my opinions on certain things, and a direction of the song, and I'd go right back with him, go back to him and say, what do you think? Do you think this is a cool direction? I think we need to cut out a section. I think we need to hone this in a little bit more, make it a bit more focused. And Jeff, being the craftsman that he is in making hits, he knows, and he sees it, and it was good to have him in that direction. So this new record, like I said, we're getting forward. We're looking forward to getting out there and sharing the direction that we're heading in now. And the more we do it, the more we play, the more gigs we do, the stronger I feel it will be.
Absolutely. I hate to use the word ditto, but one of the things that was fun for me on this was you know, thinking, getting outside of my own box in terms of, you know, recording approach and things like that, and also working with Everett on the level of playing melodies and things like that, and Jeff, which was a lot of fun. I grew up playing a lot of sax guitar duets with different folks, and I've always liked that sound, and so now to be able to do it in a band for me is a real treat, so that's been a lot of fun, just, you know, and then, like I said, approaching the recording process in different ways. I'm really excited about getting out playing what we were able to pull off in the studio.
Well, fans are in for a treat. I hope I can catch you somewhere. I'm going to try. But on social media, I know all of you are active on social media, and fans can find out information there. Is there a website? Is there a website, or can they just?
I don't have a particular website. I think they defer to our individual website.
Okay.
We'll probably get that one going.
We probably need to get a website and a Facebook, Instagram account, and Twitter account, you know, group one. So that'd be good. But we all have individual ones right now.
Well, one thing about it, fans are your fans are your fans. So they will, look, they will stalk you and find you guys no matter what. I know that for a fact. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that that's where they can go to keep up with information and find you guys on your individual pages.
Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then, you know, everyharp.com, jefflover.com, and paulbeckandjudy.com.
Well, all I can say...
Back on?
Jeff, are you... I want to say goodbye. Is Jeff there? Is he back?
Yeah, he hasn't made it on yet. He's having Wi-Fi problems.
Well, do me this favor. I'm going to say bye to Jeff, even though he's not on the phone. I'm going to pretend he's on the phone. It is an honor. Let me just put that out there first and foremost. For me, having you three such, I mean, I'm overwhelmed kind of sort of. It's like, this is like I said, the trifecta. Like, oh my gosh. I'm so thankful and I'm so appreciative just for you guys as the stellar musicians you are. And then what you bring to us as individuals and what you bring to the, and what you contribute to this genre, collectively is just a blessing. It's nothing short of a blessing. And much appreciated for keeping it alive and keeping this real stuff real. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
I think at the end of the day, if in some way, which I've never, nor will I ever be able to feel comfortable with putting myself on the same level as some of the people I came up listening to, and especially one of my largest influences, George Duke. If we could inspire younger players to strive for more out of their talent as opposed to just becoming popular.
Woo! You better preach.
Popular or famous or famous entertainers. If we could strive to them to become the best musicians so they can possibly
be. Yeah.
That in itself, what we're doing here, if we can accomplish that with anything that we do in our careers, that would complete us. I think I could speak for Jeff and Paul. I think that would make us more complete because our legacies are only as good as the people that we influence in the same ideas that we have, which is to try and become the best, which I am nowhere close to being the best musician I can be, but I'm still striving to be that. And with a group like this, it helps me and helps me to continue to grow in the right direction. If we can inspire younger musicians to seek that and try to be the best at whatever it is that they're doing, then it definitely makes it more worthwhile for it.
You know, I just love wisdom. Yeah. I just love wisdom. I just got to tell you must be in my head. Like, I just love wisdom, and I just love where you just broke that right on down, because that is so true. Oh, my God. And I hope everyone's listening. Paul, and with your repertoire, and background, I mean, not to mention Jeff, it's if you guys, like I said, if someone just bites off the apple, just take a snippet of the apple, and learn from you guys.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's a big dog. Is that a big dog?
I think it's a big dog.
I think it's a big dog. If it's not a big dog, it's a little dog with a big dog bite.
With a big voice, right, yeah. It's a big dog.
Is it a big dog? What kind of dog is it?
It's a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
That's a big dog.
Yeah.
He sounds like it. Is he your protector?
He's a pup. He's about 7 months old.
Oh, you got a baby. Aw. Well, you guys, tell Jeff for me that I said goodbye and that thank him for the conversation. And I will catch you guys. Feel free to reach out to me. You know, I'm always going to be here for you guys. But feel free to reach out. You're welcome.
Oh, hey, Monica?
Yes?
Monica, one more thing. Tell Rob if he ever gets tired of honey, that 335, tell him that I'll figure out his answer.
You can't have honey. I mean, like, I will have to fight him for honey. But I'll tell him you are on the lookout just in case I can happen to, you know, in case whatever happens.
He's got honey and I've got brownie. I have a Stratocaster that I've had for 35 years.
Oh, God.
And it's brown rosewood. And it's same thing, it never leaves my side. So he's got honey and I've got brownie.
Yes, and that is his baby, and I'm like, please let it go. Like, but he will never let her go. He'll never let her go. Like, I'm the mistress. I'm the mistress here around here.
That's funny.
Well, Monica, I'll see you on Twitter.
Yes, and Facebook and Instagram, and you know my blog is Pink and Blue Notes. So that's also on there. But Monica Bacon, I'm everywhere. So just look me up, guys.
All right.
And we're appreciating. You guys have a good day, okay?
Thank you so much.
And tell Jeff I said bye-bye.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.